That's right. Art. Your name's Art?
Last I checked.
Last you checked. Now, Art, you're the director at Wildwood. Is Bruce or Don or Dave?
Dave.
Dave. So I met. So I was at a conference last week. I got the chance to meet Dave.
Dave.
Yes. This is Art, though. Is there a Bruce involved?
That's Bruce.
But you're involved as well.
Used to be.
See, and so, thanks, Art. I'll let you go now. One of the things that was just neat to hear about things of Dunning Park is the connection that this chapel has to camp, like Art was sharing. Bruce and then Dave, the director there, when the state redid a bunch of regulation stuff, Dave was a huge part of it, and I learned about that. And then the connection to Bruce and to here. And then you all know Bob, I believe, maybe. Some have met Bob. I think he spoke last week. That's what at least he tells me. You can all be the judge of that, but he shared that he did. And so it's amazing to see how the body works and how we each have our own ministries and opportunities to just be a part of it as a whole. Even though it's different places, different callings, you know, part of Wildwood is a lot of stuff with the mission. But the outreach that comes from this chapel, all the time I'm blown away by the outreach that you guys are a part of as a large, you know, especially in East Michigan, in this area. You know, it's a place that's gone through a lot. And so I just appreciate everything you guys do for all of the camps, whether it's UPBC, Bear Lake, Wildwood, you know, it's amazing. So today, I'm going to start, let's see how much, okay, good. Oh, yeah, I watched this back here. They taught me, but I still didn't pay attention. We're going to look at five different relationships or friendships. So Barnabas was one of three, and we're going to kind of breeze through these first three. Barnabas was a part of Paul, Timothy, and Barnabas, all kind of related around Paul and the different levels of friendship. So what we'll start with is reading about Paul in 1 Timothy 1:12 through 17. I'm just going to read these first couple, and then I'm really going to focus on a Barnabas style of friendship. So 1 Timothy 1:12 through 17 reads, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is trustworthy sayings that deceive full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his inimitancy, patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invincible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." So in this, what I've kind of taken away from it is that Paul was stepping out as a mentor to many. He mentored Timothy particularly, and there was many others that he did as well. And so this was like, he was saying, I've come out of just the worst of worst, and the Lord has trusted me. And so how many of us are coming out of all kinds of different situations, but we have something to offer to somebody? So that's just the reminder of who Paul was. Timothy, in Acts 16:1 through 4, he was called out to be someone who would be mentored by Paul, so a mentee. "Paul came to Deborah and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but though whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium, thank you. You know, Emily tried to help me with this word, and there's some words I just struggle with. Spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he thank you. Him because of the Jews who lived in that area. And for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So, you know, here it's just, like I was saying, just kind of a brief overview of these relationships. And Timothy was poured into by Paul to help further the kingdom. And so this is my, for me, in my 30s, being reminded that, like the kids at camp that Art was sharing about, you know, that's who right now I'm particularly pouring into. You know, so I've got, there's gentlemen like Bob, someone you all know, is willing to pour into me, then I should be willing to pour into somebody. So it's kind of a big domino effect. But we don't do these things alone, and that's where Barnabas comes in. So in Acts 9:26 through 30, we read, when he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Jews. You guys are really good at knowing which words I'm going to have a hard time with. But they tried to kill him. When the believers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Thank you. I appreciate the help. I can't do these things alone. That's why I brought Emily. So, in case you all didn't know, she would definitely know how to say these words. Here we're showing where Barnabas is coming alongside Paul, who is, you know, it's, who is this guy? Who is this? We don't know who this guy is. He, last we knew, he was persecuting us. And so this is the style of friendship that I really want to look at, is the style where it's the people that are willing to kind of stick their necks out for us, or the people that are willing to set aside their own things to come alongside of you to see the ministry grow in many different facets. And the value of these friends. We're going to look at three different friends in the Bible, and then I'll share a little story of a friend of mine that, I mean, he's come along with me for a long time and encouraged me in times when things are hard. And those friendships are invaluable. I mean, there are, my guess is there are those type of friendships among here. And it's all three of the different kinds that are in here, people that are pouring into the younger generation, people who are walking alongside one another, and those that then were being mentored. So the first is Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas are in Acts 9, we see how their friendship and ministry started. So Barnabas is like, I'm going to stick my neck out for you. Then through Acts 11 through 15, they travel together, they do ministry together, they work together, going through all kinds of different situations, carrying out what the Lord has called them to do. At the end of Acts, in Acts 15:39, it reads, they occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And that can be hard sometimes. Sometimes we as friends walk through difficult situations that we may have to separate. It may be better for those that are involved in that. And so I don't desire my friendships to end this way, but sometimes they do, unfortunately. But it reminds us that there may be some friends that we need to forgive. After we've forgiven these friends, we may be able to follow Paul and Barnabas' earlier friendship to go back and do ministry together. So is there someone that you need to forgive today? Next is Jonathan and David. So we go back to the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel 18 through 20, we see how David's relationship with Saul connected him with Jonathan. In 1 Samuel 18:1, shares that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. And it's just that forming of that friendship, that bond to do ministry together, to do life together. This was the start of a friendship that would ultimately save David's life. You know, Saul got just furious with David and wanted to kill him. And Jonathan said to David, just a way to test this out a little bit in verse 20. And they, you know, there was a servant child, or not, but a servant boy that when Jonathan shot the arrow before or after would dictate on how David, or how Saul had reacted to David not being present at a meal. And that was like the final straw, because Jonathan was Saul's son and knew that if his dad acted this one way, then it was not going to be good for David. And Jonathan knew that David was meant for greater things. So in 1 Samuel 20, 42, Jonathan shares, "Go in safety, inasmuch as we have sworn to each other in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord will be between me and you, and between my descendants and your descendants forever. Then he rose and departed. While Jonathan went into the city, that's when David had left to protect his life. So are we willing to potentially leave a friendship behind so that way the kingdom of God can go further? So it can advance in ways that we don't even know where it could go from that. And David, I mean, eventually Jonathan and Saul both passed away, and David, you know, became a very mighty man for God. So the third relationship that I'm gonna touch on is the relationship of Jesus and Peter, who walked through just amazing things together. You know, Peter got to come alongside Jesus, seeing incredible ministry that Jesus was doing. So during the Last Supper, though, in Matthew 26, 31 through 35, we see Peter's heart to follow. I would follow you to the cross. I would lay down everything and follow you right to the cross. And Jesus is like, you won't. And it's like crushing. You know, sometimes our friends come alongside of us and we say these things and they know us better than we do sometimes. And they go, no, you wouldn't do that. And you're like, oh, that it just sits so hard. So as we know, Peter ends up denying Jesus actually three times. So not only not just following him, but just totally saying, I don't even know who this guy is. He wasn't even my friend. Let's see. The amazing part is their friendship through this, though, is then we look further down the line. So we never know where our friendships and our stories are going. And in John 21, 15 through 17, we read, when they had finished eating, Jesus has come back at this point. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said to Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And you know, you got to be wondering what's going through Peter's mind. Like, Jesus, I know I denied you. I know I messed up. Peter was hurt. Was it because of that? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me, he said. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. So even though Peter denied Jesus three times, Jesus was willing to put him in charge, was willing to be like, I need you. You walked with me. You know the things that we did together. Will you feed my sheep? Will you lead my sheep? So the question is, have you been able to work through difficult times, put it behind you, and come together again to advance the kingdom further? And that's what Jesus was asking Peter to do. So these are just three stories of many in the Bible. So one I want to share about, this is up in the UP. You can tell because there's snow. I don't know if you guys know what that white stuff is. We get a lot of it. So this is actually me and two of my friends. Brent is the guy in the middle, and Jake is the other guy. We do all kinds of stuff together, but Brent and I get a lot of time. We have worked on our friendship through the years. And so as I thought about just, you know, how can I relate this? And one of the stories that came to mind was I met Brent in 2004. So Brent and I have known each other for quite some time. We met up at college. And in 2008, we started spending a lot of time together. He was building his house. Our church had hail damage, and we got hired to re-roof. Our church has four buildings. We operate seven rentals to college students as part of kind of what our ministry does. And so him and I and another guy got the chance to re-roof these buildings. So we started spending a lot of time together, really getting to know each other at just a totally different level, especially when you help build someone's house. You know, you think you have good ideas, but ultimately it's their house, so you got to set that stuff aside. But then in 2011, Emily and I got married in 2007, so 4 years into our marriage, Brent came up to me and was willing to share a hard truth with me. He was willing to share that I needed to be more open with my wife so Emily and I's relationship could go way further than what I could ever imagine at the time. And, you know, sometimes that's that moment of, like, we don't necessarily see that in ourselves. So after he shared this, I had three options. I could be offended, throw it away, be like, I don't need you to tell me how to live my life. Just let it all go. I could choose to do nothing and then offend him, and he could choose to walk away. Or I could choose to change. Thankfully, the Lord is gracious, and I was willing to change. And the things, just the openness that Emily and I have had through this has been incredible. And it was because someone was willing to step out and say something. Let's see, where did I go in all this? I lost my... Here we go. I found it. Don't worry. See, I... Nice big. Helps. If you're going to get up here, make sure you do big words. So, like I said, that really helped Emily and I's marriage go further and deeper, which ultimately, you know, So Emily and I have been directing UPBC for 2 years, and if Brent never had shared that truth with me, I don't know what it would look like today. You know, going into ministry is hard, and it can be very time-consuming. And so if I share with her struggles with life, with friends, with camp, it all of it, and that rooted from Brent's willingness to say something to me. So we will never know where a friendship like this could start. For Brent and I, it started in college. We were part of Crew at Northern Michigan University. That's where we met. And then the friendship went deeper. But, like Art was saying, I lost Art. Art's right there. Art was saying, you know, he came to know the Lord at camp, at a camp. And so sometimes this level of friendship starts at a camp. Year over year, you see the same people, you see the same people, same people. You serve on staff together. And the next thing you know, you're living life together. And it all started at some point. So it could start at UPBC. It could start at Bear Lake. It could start at Wildwood. We don't know. So the last question I leave you is, is there someone you know that needs to go to camp, to a camp of any kind? Do they need to find that Barnabas type of friendship, find that Jesus and Peter, the start towards something? Because we never know when those kids will really meet the ultimate friend, and that's Jesus. When they will get to meet the person that's going to change their life forever. So, in review, we have... there we go. Good, I didn't break it. Is there a friend you need to forgive? Is there someone that you need to call up afterwards and forgive for something? You know, it could have happened 20 years ago, and that root is just sitting there. And maybe that person isn't being able to fulfill the ministry side that they could be a part of. Is there a friend you would leave so you each could have a greater kingdom impact? I don't know what that looks like necessarily. I just, you know, I'm thinking of what Jonathan and David had to walk through. Because ultimately it saved David's life. Hopefully that's not the type of separation we're after where you're like, you need to go because the people from Canada are coming and we're in trouble. So is there a friend that you need to affirm? You know, ultimately, Jesus affirmed Peter. Even after everything Peter did, Jesus affirmed Peter. And sometimes an affirmation, a word of encouragement, it could be a word of correction, is needed. And they hurt sometimes. Sometimes they're affirming and encouraging, though. Just like Jesus at the end, when he shared with Peter how much he really appreciated who he was, that he would lead the people. Would he feed his sheep? Lastly, is there a kid or adult, because camp isn't just for kids, that we need to invite to camp? So with that, I was asked to give a little bit of a ministry update as well. So first, I want to hit on a couple testimonials that throughout the year, it's really, really encouraging to get notes from parents, from campers, from somebody who sent somebody, or all kinds of different facets. So here we read, a 9-year-old boy looked up at the boys' camp speaker and said, "You've changed my life." He said these words because he had received Jesus as his Savior. And that's what all of our camps are. That's our desires. It doesn't matter which one it is. You know, Don has a big heart for UPBC, but he also has a big heart for transportation stuff. And there are people that know Don because of the bus stuff. And so I think of, like, even Barrichell is another camp that kids went to for a long time from this chapel to come to know Jesus. So it doesn't matter where they're going. It's the message that's shared. So that week, as a result of the Holy Spirit using the chapel message to reach his heart, the speaker gave the young camper a hug and said, "No, I didn't change your life, but Jesus did. Continue to walk with him." Just one of many. You know, I've been doing this 2 years now, very long, very short time. You know, Bob's been doing it. Sometimes he doesn't always tell me the number. I think it's like 28 to 30 years. And he's got millions of these. And it's fun to share these stories with one another, because at times we need the encouragement of why we're doing what we're doing. Another one is due to gifts that each camp receives. You know, many kids can't necessarily afford to go to camp. And our heart is, well, we don't want that as an obstacle for them to come to know the Lord. So this parent wrote, "Thanks, this is the best thing that has happened to us in years. I am so grateful for this gift of kindness." This was a family that, if I'm not mistaken, both parents were working and, like, both lost their jobs. And so they couldn't afford, you know, they had other things to pay for, and camp wasn't a priority. And so they asked, you know, "Do you guys have a scholarship program?" "Absolutely. Let them come." It's amazing to talk to the different camps and hear how much people give to scholarships so kids particularly can come to camp to come to know the Lord. Oh, here it is. I was like, where did my thing go? Another thing, you know, I want to touch on particularly is the bus ministry and how huge it is for us. You know, every week, 30 to 40 kids come up to UPBC because of the bus that starts up here at 2 in the morning. And so that's volunteers willing to give up that time. But, I mean, it's a huge part of what we get to be a part of, to get the campers out of this area and into something, well, they don't normally see snow, but into something very different than what East Michigan has to offer. And so it's amazing. And like I was saying, there's so many stories. If you talk to, my guess is that if I asked people to raise their hand, if you had a story like that from camp of either your own or somebody, it'd probably be most of you. You know, Art shared his. That's how he came to know the Lord, at boys' camp up north. So, okay. Next is, so we are a missionary-supported staff. That's what Chad and Mandy are currently working on. As Jason shared, Chad and Mandy are here visiting. They're from Cincinnati. Chad works an amazing job for the city of Cincinnati doing surveying, right? He goes around and measures stuff. He just basically walks around with a stick and point. No. They felt, you know, the part of it is the reason why we do that is to keep our fees down as low as we can. And it's a huge part. And one of the big ministry areas that we have a heart for is the UP. And that's why we are where we are. It started back in 1936. A guy was going from logging camp to logging camp. And so over the past 12 years, there's been a real refocus to that. And so in order to reach the UP, we need help from everywhere. Just like any other camp, funding comes from everywhere. And it's amazing what God provides time and time again. So these are the different missionaries that we have. The top two are Chad is currently in the process of raising his support. He's here visiting. He has prayer cards, and he also has a newsletter that he sent out. He is going to be coming up to do facilities for us. Camp UPBC has never had, I mean, we've had people that come up like all summer long. We have people that come out periodically through the year. But we've never had one person there dedicated 52 weeks a year, minus when he goes on vacation with family, that just takes care of the facilities. The reality is, at this point, UPBC has 75 buildings. It's a lot to take care of. It's amazing what people have done through the years. It's amazing to see how well they've been kept up. We're not coming in to tear down buildings. We're redoing them constantly because the main structure is sound. And so that's a huge thing. Lisa Van Ryan just started as the marketing director. You see a lot of our stuff here. She oversees a group of five other volunteers that takes care of that. But she does a lot of the artwork herself. And then we come together, each of the people that work with her have different areas of expertise, and so she's overseeing that group. And then the other ones, the current ones, Jeff and Angie doing Gwynn area outreach. So they're in it. They're in the middle of it. They lead a youth group of about 40, and the reason why their youth group is about 40 is because of the vans that we're able to offer to them. Little Lake Chapel, their youth group is growing. And their chapel is coming along amazing. For those that may not know, Lake Chapel is building a new one. And they haven't taken out a single dime. And they're a congregation of 70 of people from the UP, which are broken homes with very little money. And God has provided over $800,000 for that chapel. And it is beautiful. And it will be. And there's tons of stories with that. But, Little Lake Chapel, Jeff and Angie, they're in the logging camps in the sense of the 1936s. So Don and Susie, they take care of the retreat season and kitchen and all kinds of stuff. They stay plenty busy. Don helps with snow blowing. They're incredible to have, and I couldn't imagine trying to do facilities, book groups, cook in the kitchen, do marketing stuff, and there's camps that do, and it's amazing, and I go, okay, I'm very thankful for what we have going on. Ruth Ann takes care of our housekeeping. She does laundry. She makes the beds. She cleans the buildings, keep them in great shape, and then Brad Larson comes up. He's our maintenance guy. He just loves to come. Last week, he was putting polyurethane on a building, and he was priming a floor, so that way Graham Martin can come up next week and do drywall work. And that's the volunteer aspect of people that are intermixed. So a little bit about the missionaries. Please see Chad. Please visit. I mean, we're super excited. And his hope, he's praying that God will make provisions to be up there so his girls can start the school year. That's their desire. And it's, it takes a lot of work. But the Lord, he's amazing. I've got other friends that are raising support going into ministry. And, I think of one friend. She started raising her support 4 weeks ago, and she's like 50 to 75% funded in 4 weeks. And she's like, I can't even tell you where it came from. She has no idea. So this is it. There we go. This is the dorm we're currently redoing. So we've gone through and redone most of the kids' dorms particularly. So this one was Sue. This one was one of the original dorms that was actually remodeled. So back in the day, this wall right here was left. And basically remodeled meant we put everything new except one wall, because that's what they said we could do. And so that wall is a true 2x4 wall, for those that are familiar with the lumber industry. They're no longer true 2x4s. And so it was kind of great to see, but it was time to get in there. We had got some critters had gotten in there, made a big mess of it, and spruced it up. And so this is kind of the process. Again, volunteers coming up to do the demo work. And here, there's Brad. He's doing what he does best, just holding up the scaffolding. No, he works a ton. And so we've gone into all of our other dorms and kind of put up the tongue and groove. The reality is what we really want is something that's going to be durable and last, just like what the main structure is. And so, you know, it's very unlikely that a kid is going to put his foot through that. And if he is, he's probably going to the hospital as well. So to get pins or something in that foot. So that's a little bit about Sue. It's been fun and exciting. It's the last of, like, the main core 5 dorms that we have. There's some more to be done, but there's been tons of work in that. The other thing that we've done is, again, volunteer work crew coming up, and this had carpet and concrete and moisture, and we're like, oh, we need to get in there and do something different. So we went in and pulled out the carpet. You can see it was time for it to come. Time for it to come out. I mean, things get you. Who's replaced carpet in their home? You know, so that, and so we ended up putting just a laminate flooring, trying to protect it from any moisture problems and things like that. So just a great group. Here's some people you may know. This is, wow, it looks rough, doesn't it? I mean, man, book, I don't know what Lance is really doing. I think he was going to get ready to go water skiing. That's why he's got the knee brace on. No. I just wanted to touch on just the value of our volunteers. Our program directors are volunteers who create and run just amazing programs for people to come and enjoy. So here they're up at family camp enjoying what, the free time, but also there's chapel services, and the program directors do all that. I don't go and find their speakers. They find them. You know, people tell me, hey, I know this person would be a great speaker. I go, okay. And then I call up the ones and say, hey, do you have a speaker? No. Here's 3 names that you could call that people have shared with me. So I'm kind of just a middleman for it all, and it's a lot of fun. Volunteers are keeping the buildings in great shape, as we saw before. Volunteers are helping with transportation. Volunteers are helping in the kitchen all year long. You know, we have people in the Marquette area that have come to love UPBC that didn't know anything about it because of the summer aspect of it for so long. And so that renewed connection to the UP has grown. We have people who are willing to come up and serve for a weekend as well in the kitchen or doing arts and crafts or whatever. I mean, it's amazing to see. Without the volunteer base that we've had for years, it would look very differently. It would look very differently. I've heard about camps that don't have that same base, and their buildings are sometimes condemned, and it's sad. So I feel blessed for what UPBC has had for so many years. To step into that is amazing. To be standing before a chapel here full of volunteers at many camps, it's awesome. So, oh, there we go. Here's some things of what we've been doing. We started a Discovery Nature Center, and you're like, what is that? Well, it's another way for us to connect with the UP. It's another way to reach into the kids' lives, and it's an outdoor education program that if we're going to talk about creation, that's what we're going to talk about. We're not defined by what the state says. We don't. So our hope and desire is over time. Right now we're just working with homeschoolers. So this is six homeschoolers that were out enjoying the winter. They meet all year. It's 8 months. It's the school year. You know, so if it's raining, they might be outside getting a little wet. If it's snowing, if it's melting, this was actually during one of the thaw times in February, and we're like, what is it doing right now? Their original plan was to go out and play on the lake, and I was like, I don't think we're going out on the lake. So they came up with other stuff. There are other camps in the UP, in case you weren't aware. And so I had the opportunity to get to know some of them. We hosted the five other directors, offered them to come and come together. It's nice, you know. It's hard. It's 7 hours downstate, so sometimes you don't get to connect the same way. And the rest of us, I mean, even for some of them, it was 3 hours. So it's a little bit closer, but not necessarily. That's another thing we did. Every year for the past 4 years, we've done a Thanksgiving dinner free to the community. This past year, we served 110 meals to people that, you know, their kids weren't coming. I took two meals to a lady. Her husband is in a nursing home. She has been fighting cancer and took two meals for her to later on take to her and her husband to be able to share. So it's just we provide an opportunity for families that, you know, that maybe they don't want to do a whole big meal. And so we're like, well, come be a part of this big family. And we do a gospel presentation during it, so it's also an opportunity to share the word with it. This year we started a summer intern winter retreat, so we had 76 interns over the past 4 years and had them come in and bring the new year in. And I'll be honest, I stole that idea straight from Bear Lake. But sometimes the best ideas we don't recreate, we just borrow and reform. And Bob said I could, I think. But it was a lot of fun to have them, to have Jeff Martin, he shared with them, and Phil, the two of them came and just did four different messages with them and an opportunity for them to be served. That was the other kind of aspect of it. So often they come and they give of themselves all summer long so everybody can have a great time, and they don't get to enjoy it. And so it was an opportunity for them to be served. Let's see. The message dinner was Jeff and Angie teaching boys how to serve young ladies. And it was an opportunity for the young ladies who come from broken homes and they don't see that to be served and see a different side of what a male role model or what a father's heart is like. So there were 24 young ladies there, and it was really good. It was really impactful for their ministry, particularly. We have two community Bible studies that are meeting weekly at the retreat center, which is great. That's, you know, part of it is that community involvement. One of which we know there are ladies that don't know the Lord. They're from more mainstream churches, and they don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior in the same way that we do. So we're praying for those. We're really excited that they're going on. And we've had new groups throughout the year. Oh, there's the Thanksgiving meal. So we had about 130, 140 people there with volunteers that were helping serve it and things like that. I got to get moving. Holy smokes, you all are going to be hungry. This spring, we have three retreats. We have the Young Moms Retreat. It's next weekend. Tons of openings for it. It's an opportunity for moms with small children to leave their kids at home or with a sitter or with grandparents and come and enjoy a weekend of being poured into when sometimes moms, they sometimes do a lot of work. And so this is 2 years ago. I didn't have a picture from last year for some reason, but 2 years ago, Joni here sharing to the young moms. Then we have Memorial Service Week, which is a change from Family Service Week. Due to the growth of day camp, we see about 150 kids at each of the day camps, and those are all local kids pretty much, coming to hear a VBS-type message for the whole week. So we had to move it, so it's Memorial Service Weekend and extended the whole week. So here's Russ Ream, as some may know Russ. He's came up and been a huge blessing coming up north and helping us with our maintenance. I believe somebody broke the mower. Could have been myself. Could have been somebody else. But Russ is on there getting her fixed up. And then the last thing we're starting this year is a marriage retreat. just trying to pour into the marriage aspects, to build strong marriages, to come alongside, to encourage these marriages that so often today we see fall apart, unfortunately. Here's the summer program numbers. I know Don Munson normally asks for these every week for me. There's the rundown. You can see that things are filling up. You know, 5 openings left. The Boys Camp 23, Adventure 13 is full and only 4. And every time Don asks, I see these numbers keep plugging down and down and down as you may. So, great photo of traditional hobo breakfast down on the tracks. It's a lot of fun. And then I will leave this one up as I wrap up. These are prayer requests for us. We've got campers coming. And the ultimate decision that they will make is to come to know the Lord. And that's what we pray for. All of the camps do. Pray for the program directors and their staff as they're getting ready. You know, it's an intense week or 2 weeks for them. And they give everything. That's the amazing part about having new, fresh people every week is you don't have, at the end of the summer, you don't end up with a counselor who has given everything. And at this point, they're like scraping the bottom to give. We're very blessed to be able to do that. It takes a lot of people, though. A lot of searching out. Summer support staff, there's all kinds of people that are coming up that are helping. And so they need prayer, too, because they get hurt. Anything happens, everybody has to pull their weight in one fast or another. Growing church partnerships, you know, like I said, our desire is to come alongside the UP churches and provide an opportunity for them to get away, an opportunity for them to bring non-believers to maybe a men's thing. Yesterday, we had a men's dinner. I haven't talked to find out how it was, but last night, you know, I know there were men at the retreat center. Some may not know who Jesus is, and so our missionaries, their family life, their support, that's huge. That needs constant prayer. And then the trustees. In 2 weeks, we'll be meeting as a group of trustees, just walking through the continued planning ahead. Where are we going? And that's for all the different, whether it's Bob and his board, you know, myself and the board that I work with, you know, where is God taking us? So we're around for another, in our case, 81 years. In Bear Lake's case, they're celebrating, this is their 60th year. Those are amazing celebrations to be a part of. So that's all I have. I think I close in prayer. Art, is that right? All right. Well, thank you very much. Let's pray and enjoy the rest of our day. Lord, just thank you for today. Thank you for the ministry of Dunning Park and the impact that they have on this community through the many midweek programs and just the Sunday morning service, Lord. We just thank you for their willingness to pour into so many different ministries. Just pray that you would continue to bless them as a fellowship. Just bless the rest of our days as we go our separate ways, and this week as we get opportunities to share your name. We pray all this in your name. Amen.